and welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast. This is episode 131, and I am your host, Andy. And in 1 week, I am going on vacation, and I fully expect to be a rugged recluse.
Oh.
It's not even that. It's ragged recluse. I messed up the whole intro, and you know what? I love me for that.
I think you might come out as a rugged recluse at the end of it if you don't shave or something. You never know.
You know, this is a live show.
Yeah.
It's not live, but it's not completely edited.
It's live to us.
And sometimes we redo intros like this. And this week, I'm going to leave this in.
Yes.
I'm not perfect, although you all think I am.
Oh. Mm. And I'm your other host, Mike. And I was walking out of my LGS with a box of cards the other day, and I fell into a drift bank. It's a good thing it was a box of Kaldheim. It was already snow covered.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
So we have a couple of announcements this week. One is the Moonlit Lands from Innistrad Crimson Vow previews. The announcement says with Commander parties, Commander Collection Black, and Innistrad Double Feature scheduled for January 28th, there is one more surprise that we get to look forward to at our local game store, which is the Moonlit Lands that will be available at premium WPN stores in English only. These are white and black lands, very similar to the lands that we already saw in Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow, but they're actually stripped of all color, so not even that little strip of color that did go around those previous ones that was the only thing to tell you what they really were, and they are going to feature that silver foil etch treatment with a touch of gloss. So I think they're going to be very similar to that same treatment that we're getting in the Innistrad double feature.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky, I guess, check out your store if they are a premium store, if you would like to get your hands on these. I will say, I like using lands in my Commander decks that are from the plane that Commander's from.
Sure.
I just have a thing for that.
Sure.
So if I built Finn, and I think all my forests are snow-covered forests from Kaldheim, just mm-hmm. because I'm weird like that.
That makes sense.
And I have the Jaren Corrupted Bishop deck that has mm-hmm. all of these swamps, and it works for Jaren mm-hmm. because it's already black, and you can tell, but I will say now that I've seen it, it's very difficult to see what someone else has, especially when playing against them on webcam.
Yeah, if they're playing a five-color deck with all these black and white basics, you can never tell.
You cannot tell.
Can my forest walk get through? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Hold on. Let me look, because all five of them look just black and white. Do you have the one with sticks trees, or do you have the one with a stick tree in the back, not in the front?
That's right.
Or the other one with just big tree trunks angling to the right.
Now, is the one with sticks in the front, not in the back, considered the mullet of forests? Or
It is. It's a forest in the front and a plains in the back.
Okay.
But the islands, I don't think it has any trees, and neither does the mountain. The other three have stick trees.
This is just confusing.
They're all dead.
Everything's dead. Everything's a swamp. Urborg for everybody.
Everything's a swamp.
There is also an update on some of the product that we're going to be receiving for Neon Dynasty. Nothing that's really going to be affected for here in America unless you buy specific language product. So the Korean and Chinese product lineup is going to change a little bit. They are going to have Korean and Chinese language set boosters now instead of draft boosters. That's going to start with Kamigawa Neon Dynasty.
Yeah. I don't collect those, but I know that a lot of foreign cards go for a lot more because there's just significantly less of the product.
Especially Russian. Russian foils.
I just hear is that is what you get. If you're a collector and you want to flip things and you want to have the bling, you get Korean or Russian boxes,
yeah.
And you want foils.
Yeah, you got to get that Russian Theros box that someone's trying to sell on Facebook for the past 3 years, but it keeps going up in price.
Like OG Theros, like Theros, not Theros Beyond Death.
No, Theros. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a bunch of like that particular block and like the cons block and stuff. There's a ton of Russian product out
snap
there.
Snap it up. You heard it here.
I didn't say snap it up.
For it, go get it. Go get it. The other thing is I do change up my wallpaper on my computer occasionally. And the new secret layer that has the Where's Waldo Fibblefip cards is now released as a wallpaper. So I changed my Twitter background. But every time I go into this thing, I see something new. I've got to say, it's probably one of my favorite arts that we've gotten in a long time. And now that they gave us an enhanced version that we can see, every time I go into it, I find something new. So this most recent one, I found Rails Eric sitting on a rooftop with some lightning.
I like the cartoony aspect of it. It kind of reminds me of Adventure Time. I don't know if you've ever watched
it. I know what you're talking about. You know what reminded me of Adventure Time was that the ooze one, the slime one. Yeah. That really, but this does have a couple of characters that look very similar to that.
Yeah, but it's very cool.
There's Rakdos, the other one that I found, Tibor and Lumia. They're flying. If you see them.
Yeah. Are you getting this particular secret lair?
I don't think I'm going to. Only because none of the cards are things that I don't really know if I play them that much, sure. But I'll probably pick up singles because I'd like to have at least one of these.
Just frame it up and put it on your wall.
Just frame it up and put it on the wall.
A little bit of football.
Oh, the other good news we have is we have playmats in hand. Did we say that last week? I don't know if we said it, but the playmats are in hand. They kept getting delayed.
Yes, they did.
So now we have playmats. So we are going to be setting up the store very soon. And we will have an announcement online. So if you follow us on Twitter or on Instagram, we will definitely post that there. Not Facebook, because
we don't have one.
We don't have one. Do you want one?
No, personally,
I don't know.
I guess that's more of a question
for listeners. If you're
listening
and you would use Facebook more often, please email us or let us know in the Discord, because we'll also announce it, obviously, in our Discord.
Yeah.
We don't maintain a Facebook page. I don't know if... if anyone's really using Facebook a lot, I
if
never
there's
log
value
in.
To it, let us
I know. Log in to find out what's happening with my grandmother and my two aunts.
I buy Magic cards and sell Magic cards through Facebook a lot.
Yeah,
Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace.
That's it, though.
Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Well, before we continue, we want to thank all of our patron supporters. And to all of our listeners, you are the reason why we continue to do this, and we appreciate all of your support. If you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod.
And if you're looking for another way to support the podcast, whatever platform you are enjoying the podcast on now, if you could like, rate, subscribe, and comment, we would really appreciate it.
And you can find us at theguardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find our social media on Twitter at GuardianPod, on Instagram at GuardianProjectPodcast, and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject. And if you want to email us, you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. Coyle, what is on the agenda today?
This week, we do have another patron deck tech. We are going to take a look at a nice, cool brew from an uncommon from Strixhaven called Quintorius, Field Historian.
Field Historian. Well, I think it's time that we dig in. So I'm not an archaeologist, but that was a digging
that
joke.
Is a good one.
It was very good. So Lorehold, we've been talking about the blue-red color pair and...
White-red.
White-red.
Yeah.
The white-red color pair. Mm-hmm. For a few weeks now, actually, and a lot of red we've been talking about recently, but this is giving us a new way to play the Boros colors. But in Lorehold, it's not all just combat-focused.
That's right. We know that we had the Osgear precon printed for us, which... helped play with our graveyard in terms of artifacts, but now with Quintorius Field Historian, we're going to be able to play with that graveyard with literally anything. So let's start off with our commander, Quintorius, our elephant cleric for 5 mana, 3 red and a white. You get a 2/4 that says spirits you control get +1/+0. And whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, create a 3/2 red and white spirit creature token. So I think this deck really wants to focus on going wide with spirits, creating as many of these 3/2 spirits as possible. And winning that way. We're going to start off with a blurb here from our creator of this deck tech. So Matt says, I was immediately intrigued with the graveyard antics of Lorehold and Strixhaven, and Quintorius was an auto build for me. The build is primarily spirit tribal to take advantage of the commander's anthem ability with a graveyard recursion package to flood the board with spirits. Some of the spirits have other sac abilities to take care of problem permanents like artifacts and enchantments. The way to win is with a whole mass of pumped up spirits, and in some cases, angels. And I will say that there is another like 3 or 4 ways, actually, that this deck can win. And we will go over them today. So as Matt said in his blurb, this deck really is built primarily around the commander and triggering the commander's second ability as much as possible to create all of these 3/2 spirits, which actually enter the battlefield as 4/2 spirits, as long as Quintorius is still on the battlefield when the trigger resolves. Obviously, there's a few cases where maybe that wouldn't do it. But for all intents and purposes, you're creating 4/2 spirits every single time any card leaves your graveyard. Now, it is one or more cards, so if someone exiles your entire graveyard, you're still only going to get one spirit. But there's also going to be a few ways that we're going to be able to manipulate that interaction and start getting a bunch of spirits. So let's talk about the cards that are actually going to reliably make spirits for us with using Quinturius's ability.
The first card is Angel of Flight Alabaster. It is a 4/4 flying angel for 4W. It says at the beginning of your upkeep, return target spirit card from your graveyard to your hand. We're playing a lot of spirits in this deck, so we're going to return one that's sitting in the graveyard to our hand, make a spirit if Quinturius is out.
Yeah, a lot of people might look at this card and go, oh, it's not returning it to the battlefield. I don't like that advantage as much, but it doesn't matter where the card goes when it gets removed from your graveyard in order to get to 3/2. It can go to exile. It can go to your hand. It can go to the battlefield. It can go to another type of exile because there's like 20 different types of exiles that you can be
in. The forever exile.
That's right.
The temper, the command zone.
It could go to the stack even. Leaving the graveyard onto the stack. So keeping that in mind, you know, having a card returned from the graveyard to your hand actually is going to be a big benefit for us. The second card here on the list, Apostle of Purifying Light. This is uncommon from M20. For 1W, you get a 2/1 human cleric that has protection from black. That's just upside. We don't really care about that. For 2 generic mana, we can activate Apostle of Purifying Light's ability to exile target card from a graveyard. So this is going to be 2 mana to create a 4/2 spirit as long as we have at least one card in our graveyard, but it's also going to double as graveyard hate against our opponents at instant speed too.
At instant speed, the next card is Aurora Eidolon. It is a 2/2 spirit for 3W that has pay 1W, sacrifice Aurora Eidolon, prevent the next 3 damage that we dealt to target creature or player this turn. Whenever you play a multicolored spell, you may return Aurora Eidolon from your graveyard to your hand. So I like this a lot. It can help you save your commander if something is, you know, dealing damage to it, preventing 3. Quinturius is a 2/4, so you already have a good amount of toughness, but essentially this is making it a 2/7, which I do like. It's good to self-sacrifice. We already mentioned cards like Angel of Flight Alabaster can return target spirits from your graveyard to your hand. It also triggers off of 9 cards in the 99 to return it to your hand. So that is the casting a multicolored spell function. And it also triggers off your commander to return it to your hand. Although Quinturius has to be out to get that trigger, but at least it returns it to your hand so you have another spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Another card to card advantage in white-red. Real good.
Simply for casting your commander, too.
Yep.
Absolutely fantastic. So the next card on this list is actually a huge combo card for Quinturius. So if you're not familiar with this, listen up. Bag of Holding, which was reprinted in the AFR set at Uncommon, was printed at Rare in a core set. I can't remember exactly what core set it was. But for 1 generic mana, you get an artifact that says, whenever you discard a card, exile that card from your graveyard. Then it has 2 activatable abilities, 2 generic and tap it to draw a card, then discard a card, or 4 generic, tap it to Bag of Holding to return all cards exiled with Bag of Holding to their owner's hand. So this particular card is good because it sees your cards hit the graveyard and then exiles the cards under Bag of Holding. Now, we talked a little bit before how Quinturius said it cared about whether 1 or more cards were leaving your graveyard. So if you have a Bag of Holding, you might think that if you're going to wheel your hand away of 7 cards, that all 7 would be exiled under Bag of Holding at the same time. That's incorrect. You get individually, and if you wheel 7 cards away from your hand, you will make 7 4/2 spirits.
That's so fun.
It's really good. If you're not playing Bag of Holding in your Quinturius deck, you need to.
I did not know that it did this. I guess I wasn't thinking about that, but that's really, really strong. Other card that I really like this deck, is the 2/2 human for a rest. Whenever you may pay 1 generic mana and discard a card if you do draw a card. And it says, whenever you discard 1 or more non-land cards, you may exile 1 of them from your graveyard. If you do, cast it this turn. So it only costs 1 to loot while it's attacking. I think the biggest downside here is that it's not a spirit and it does have to attack. You get to cast that card and it does not stay in exile. It's not like it's not like flashback. Not you may cast it and then it stays in exile. You can put it into your graveyard. So if it's permanent, it goes to the build. Instant sorceries go to your graveyard. Maybe you can cast them again later if they've got flashback, or you can play cards that enable you to play cards from your graveyard. I think this is a really strong card.
Yeah, I like the fact that you don't even have to cast the card though. Just exile card, and then it says you may cast it. You're still going to get your spirit either way, even if you don't have the mana to cast the card that you're exiling. I think this next card potentially be a commander for this deck, and that's Haughfrey Ghost Form. This is a 5-mana dwarf lair, 4-power, 5-toughness, 3-red and white. So spirits you control get +1/+1 and have trample and haste. Already we have an additional anthem effect, and we're getting 2 different keywords for our spirits. Fantastic. Also has the ability, whenever another non-token creature you control dies, exile it. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types, and it has, when this creature leaves the battlefield, return the exiled card to your graveyard. So not only are you super huge advantage, you're getting extra spirits, even with your non-spirit creatures you might have. This does trigger on non-token spirits as well, so it can come back as spirits, which is okay. on top of all that, as soon as your creatures hit the graveyard, then they're being exiled individually, again, Green Quintor, every single time. So not only are your creatures going to have resilience and come back as token spirits, but they're also going to be creating additional 4/2 spirits in the process.
Yeah, this card's really strong. This is one that after Strixhaven came out and the prices cooled down a bit, I always order cards in foil, and a Haughfrey Ghostforge was one that I ordered in foil. I might use it one day, and I said, I'm going to do it now while the card was only, I don't know, it was like $2 or something. I said, if something gets spoiled and Haughfrey shoots up to 10, I'm going to, you know, I'll be kicking myself.
Sure.
So now I have a Haughfrey. This is a really great alternate commander, I think. Oh, yeah. For this. If you were to switch, you're going to get the synergies, but a lot of the same synergies.
Now, did this one come in the standard set or the pre-con? Because I don't remember.
No, this was in the standard set.
Okay, nice.
This was in the standard. Nice. I don't. I'm not sure if it was printed into the pre-con as well, but no, this was definitely standard set. The next two have are actually both lands. We have Hostile Desert and Mistville Plains. Hostile Desert, a desert that taps for 1 colorless mana. And it does say pay 2 generic, exile land from your graveyard. Hostile Desert becomes a 3/4 elemental creature. Until end of turn, it is still a land. We've talked about this before on one of our lands episodes. It's not the best, but this is one that I would like to see utilized more often. Mm-hmm. It works really well in this deck because we also have cards that have cycling. So we're running a few cycling lands. You can throw them into your graveyard and activate this Hostile Desert. You don't have to rely on your lands being destroyed or, I guess, discarding them. Although we have some discard synergies here as well.
Yeah.
And then Mistville Plains, it's a plains that comes into play tapped, and it says pay 1 white and tap it. Put target card in your graveyard on the bottom of your library. Only if you control 2 or more white permanents. So that's probably not that you do in this deck. You're going to get a Quintorian and get some back that you may actually need.
Yeah, again. For sure. It's not restricted by only lands like Hostile Desert is. I like the fact that Hostile Desert is repeatable. It doesn't say that, you know, you can only do it once and you're not tapping it to create Hostile Desert into a 3/4 elemental. So if you have 10 mana and 10 lands in your graveyard because you faithless looted them all into your graveyard, or whatever, you could make 10 spirits that way. I don't like the fact that it turns into a creature and you don't get that May ability to activate it. I wish I could activate it and not turn it into a creature because it just becomes vulnerable at that point. Flame. It's a card you typically would only see in like an instant and sorcery
Spellslinger deck.
Yeah, Spellslinger deck time. For sure. But Pass in Flames is found here because it's going to give all instants and sorceries in your graveyard flashback for only 4 mana, 3 in a red. Now, there aren't a ton of instant sorceries. There's 20 instant sorceries in the deck. I guess that's, you know, 1/5 of the deck. You're going to have at least 1 or 2 in your hand at most times. Hopefully you'll be able to pitch them all into your graveyard before you cast a Past in Flames. I like the idea of casting Past in Flames to recast all of your loot instants and sorceries that you've already cast earlier in the game, and then recasting Past in Flames a second time to cast everything in your graveyard. But every time you cast something with flashback from your graveyard, it goes from your graveyard onto the stack, triggering Quintorius and creating a 3/2 spirit.
Yeah, we have 2 squeeze. We have both the Immortal and Goblin Nabob. Both of these work really, really well in this deck. Squee the Immortal is a 2/1 for 2 red. You can cast Squee from your graveyard or from exile. This is perfect. Exactly what you want. Repeatable card. In my opinion, it's card advantage. It's a chump blocker. It also makes the Spirit of Quintorius is out really, really great. And then Squee Goblin Nabob is a 1/1 for 2 and a red that says at the beginning of your upkeep, you may return Squee Goblin Nabob from your graveyard to your hand. Again, we'll get into some looting strategies. You can discard this, get some card advantage, and then it comes right back to your hand. To keep it full and making spirits.
I like the fact that Goblin Nabob is pretty much free. You don't have to pay anything to get it back from the graveyard. And then I like the fact that the Immortal is repeatable because you could do it more than once per turn.
Yep.
Underworld Breach is a card that you've probably heard of.
I love this card so much. And I think in this deck, it's one of those decks where you can play it very fairly, right? We've had a stream before. We've got a YouTube video where I've played Underworld Breach, and it's not Underworld Breach loops. It's just I wanted two individual cards on turn 11.
Right.
And I got them back.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. When we go through this list, you will find that there is no Wheel of Fortune and Lion's Eye Diamond in this deck.
Yeah. No, that's not this.
But it might be in the additions later on. Who knows? You know, if Matt has a cool $2,000 sitting around to upgrade this deck.
Spoiler alert, it's not in the suggestions either.
So Underworld Breach, as you probably know, is a 2-mana enchantment for 1 and a red that says each non-land card in your graveyard has escape, and the escape cost is equal to the card mana cost, plus exile 3 other cards from your graveyard. With the amount of looting that we have in this deck, which we have not gone over yet, but we will, you will see that you will be able to, with enough mana, continuously fill your graveyard up. And I think this Underworld Breach is here to have a really big combo turn. That combo turn is not necessarily going to win the game on the spot, but it's going to create like 24/2 spirits and then good luck.
That's exactly. That feels like an Ink Shield in Lorehold.
Oh, yeah.
Ink Shield makes a bunch of those inks, and they're 2/1s with flying. Are they inks? Inklings?
Mm-hmm.
Inklings. Mm-hmm. Inks
like Splatoon,
are they called like Splatoon? I think they're called Inkling in Splatoon. Very, very strong in a single turn. And our last, the last spell that makes spirits very reliably is Venerable Warsinger. It's a 3/3 spirit cleric for 1 red and white, has vigilance and trample, and says whenever Venerable Warsinger deals combat damage to a player, you may return target creature card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the amount of damage Venerable Warsinger dealt to that player. So if you can pump this in any way, you can get something larger back. But this does hit quite a few creatures here, because you're getting three mana value.
Yeah, I think I when I calculated it was like 30 different cards, 40 different cards that you can hit, because Venerable Warsinger will most likely be a 4-power creature because you have Quintorius out there already. We know that we've seen Venerable Warsinger in a lot of budget decks lately. You can pick one up for a quarter. Honestly, a 3/3 with vigilance and trample for 3 mana is pretty good on its own. We saw this deck actually in a Vadrock deck that we did a while ago. This was a new add because Strixhaven had just come out, and we heard that this card does work. So excited to that I keep seeing it pop up in a bunch of decks. So we've created a bunch of these 3/2 spirits. Now, there is a second part of this deck, which is spirit synergies. So we're going to talk about some spirit synergies and how they are going to give us an advantage in the game. The first one up here is Apothecary Geist. Very simple. 2/3 flying spirit for 3 and a white. Then when it enters the battlefield, as long as you control another spirit, you gain 3 life. Just a little bit of life gain.
Just a little bit of life gain. The next is Balefire Liege. 2 and then hybrid red-white, hybrid red-white. Hybrid red white. It's a 2/4 spirit whore. Did not realize until we did this deck tech that it was honestly, because I've only ever played it just for what it does.
Right.
But it says other red creatures you control get +1/+1. Other white creatures get +1/+1. Obviously that you control. Whenever you cast a red spell, it deals 3 damage to target player. And whenever you cast a white spell, you gain 3 life. I used to play this in a Feather the Redeemed spell slinger deck.
Oh yeah.
This fits really well here. And the spirits that Quintorius makes are 3/2 red and white spirits. So you're going to have 5/4 spirits with Balefire Liege out.
That's 6/4 Quintorius out.
And 6/4 with Quintorius out as well.
Those are massive.
Huge spirits. Balefire Liege, all-star
card. That's what Angry Omnath makes 5/5 elementals, right?
Makes 5/5 elementals.
And these are 6/4. So I put them at pretty much the same par at that point.
Exactly.
So Court of Grace is a card that, you know, we love the cycle, the court cycle that came out in Commander Legends that introduced the Monarch to our normal games of Commander. So Court of Grace is included in here. For 4 mana, 2 white-white, you get an enchantment that when it enters the battlefield, you become the Monarch. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. If you're not the Monarch, but if you are the Monarch, you're going to get a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying instead. And you might think, oh, this is a spirit deck. And Quintorius is only giving +1/+0 to spirits. So wouldn't I want
the sometimes just take the angel.
You always take
the angel.
It's a 4/4.
The angel will protect you. The next card, Desecrated Tomb, an artifact from M19, a card that I don't think I've ever seen anyone cast this. It costs generic 3 mana.
Mm-hmm.
And it says whenever one or more creatures in and out, the squeeze in, you can really make that synergy work. So that this is in a lot of Grenzo decks. Yep. I've seen things flip to the graveyard, flip to the bottom of the library. Great card. Synergizes well.
Highly suggested card in Shire decks too. I actually used to have this in my Shire deck, but it was a little bit too high of a CMC and not a creature for that particular deck. I like it here. There are enough creatures. You might be concerned that it only triggers off of creatures. There's definitely enough creatures to go off of this. Fuming Effigy, common from Strixhaven. For 3 and a red, you get a 4/3 spirit, 3 with Quintorius. Whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, Fuming Effigy deals 1 damage to each opponent. I think we've talked about it a lot. Incremental damage is so, so important in Commander.
Never leave damage on the table.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about every time someone just casually gains 2 life with a Loro, how about you casually do 2 damage to everyone in the game? It makes a huge difference.
It really does. The next card, Gallows Warden, a 3/3 flying spirit for 4 and a white. It just says other spirit creatures you control get +0/+1. I'm going to give them some more toughness. They're 3/2s. Let's make them 3/3s.
Right. I actually like that this is literally the opposite anthem that Quintus gives, a +1/+0. So right. With these 2 combined, you get +1/+1. You get a normal anthem. Next on the list here, it's a very seems I wish had flash. Ghosts of the Innocent. For 5 white, you get a 4/5 spirit that says, if a source would deal damage to a creature or player, it deals half that damage rounded down to the creature or player instead. Like I said, I wish this had flash just so I could use it as a combat trick. But this is particularly important if you're running around with 2 toughness spirits everywhere.
Yeah.
Being able to split that damage down in half could save you a lot of your tokens.
It could. Next is Hanged Executioner, a 1/1 flying spirit for 2 and a white. When Hanged Executioner enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token of flying. And you can pay 3 and a white to exile Hanged Executioner to exile target creature. This is really great removal. Spot removal is needed. We'll talk about some removal. There's a few targeted removal, some board wipes. We got some mass removal. With this sitting out on the battlefield, it changes people's game plans. I don't want to play out my commander because it's probably going to get exiled. I don't want to play out this game-winning creature. I don't know, like a vigor or something huge that just really changes the game state. It's just going to get exiled.
It's just going to get exiled.
This plays mind games.
Yeah.
And you're sitting out there
and you're going to have a lot more activatable abilities and instants for you to use that 4 mana. So keeping that 4 mana up isn't going to be that big of a deal for you. Intangible Virtue has to be one of the most important cards in this deck, honestly. Intangible Virtue is a 2 mana enchantment, 1 and a white that says creature tokens you control get +1/+1. And have vigilance. Vigilance is so, so important for go wide strategies because you know you're going to have to swing with all 30 of your creatures to even like get in with 10 of them. Having vigilance allows you to do that and keep up blockers. So, so important. And it's only 2 mana for this enchantment.
Only 2 mana. And Kami of Ancient Law, a 2/2 spirit for 1 and a white that says, sacrifice Kami of Ancient Law, destroy target enchantment. Talked about it before. Enchantment removal is so much different than artifact removal.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like I don't run enough of either, honestly, but this is the type of card that I'm having issues cutting out of other decks that I have. I've got a humans deck and I have a hard time cutting creatures because the one time it's going to matter that someone has a ghostly prison and now I have to swing into you and I don't have enough mana. I have a really hard time cutting these cards, and this is exactly what I would want to have. It's a spirit. It works with things. And if I need to get rid of it, to remove that problematic enchantment, that smothering tide that's propelling you so much further ahead than me, or that Rhystic Study that I need you to not draw 12 cards, is perfect for this deck.
Absolutely. It kills itself too and can bring it back later and get some more spirits. Next up, we have Phantom General. So this is another anthem, 3 and a white. You get a 2/3. It says creature tokens you control get +1/+1. This particular card happens to also be a spirit, which is nice. So it becomes 3/3 with Quintorius.
Yep. Remorseful Cleric, a 2/1 flyer for 1 and a white. Sacrifice Remorseful Cleric. Exile all cards from target player's graveyard. You've got a Bojuka Bog, essentially, type effect on a creature. You can get rid of an opponent's graveyard. If it's late game, you may just need something, or early enough where you've only lost a few things. And this can make you a spirit. It's useful both ways.
Yeah, it's also recurrable. It only has to sacrifice itself, not exile itself like the Hanged Executioner was doing. So you can recur it and continuously exile people's graveyards. It's also a 2/1 flyer, becomes a 3/1 flyer. Don't sleep on those 3 power flyers. Ryusei the Falling Star has to be our first like big name spirit here. This is a dragon spirit, actually. For 5 and a red, you get a 5/5 flyer. This is when Ryusei the Falling Star dies, it deals 5 damage to each creature without flying. I don't love this card in this deck because it board wipes us too, and doesn't necessarily board wipe our opponents if they have, you know, flyers. Or I mean, all of our spirits, our 3/2 spirits in this deck, are ground spirits. They're not flying spirits. So I don't know if I love Ryusei. It is a spirit. It is going to get the advantage of all of your spirit tribal cards in here. But
to get to that section, that might synergize pretty well with this. The next card, Stonebound Mentor, a 3/3 spirit advisor for one red and a white. It is a 3/3 that says whenever one or more creature cards leave your graveyard, you scry one. This is those cards. I just love doing all the things. I have to remember all my triggers. This is right up my alley. Scrying one's very important.
It is.
I mean, I just like scrying.
Top deck manipulation is fantastic. And this is a 3/3 for three still, or 4/3 for three with Quintoria. So not even a downside there. Yosai the Morning Star. Now, this one, I think, is pretty high on the salt scale. I didn't look it up, but I imagine, because I've been on the salty side.
Have you been on the receiving end of my Yosai the Morning
Someone's
Star?
Someone's Yosai. I don't know whose it was.
I had it in a Taste of Karlov deck once.
I probably blacked it out.
Yeah, we don't want to remember. So always forget.
Yosai the Morning Star is another 6-mana dragon spirit, 4WW. You get a 5/5 flyer that says when Yosai the Morning Star dies, target player skips his or her next untap step. Tap up to 5 target permanents that player controls. Now, it is very, very good if you use it once to like pretty much have someone take a turn off. There are a lot of ways where you can continuously just recur it and do it every single time, or do it 3 times a turn to everybody, or you can shut down a board with a Yosai. This deck doesn't have the ability to do that unless it for some reason has like a billion mana, 99 cards in the graveyard and an Underworld Breach. But other than that,
hey, one day it could happen.
You never know.
We're going to make enhancements. We upgrade decks. I want to see it. Occasionally, seeing it every once in a while happen, it's not that bad. And I almost never see this card out.
As long as everyone's okay with scooping afterwards and not, oh, I'm going to take my turn, not untap. Okay, your turn. I guess it does make your turn faster.
It makes it. And if it's only you and one other person, you got to end the game. This is a win con.
This is a Boros extra turns card because you can't take extra turns.
Well, if you have Final Fortune, I guess. It's not in the deck, but Final Fortune does let you take it.
I guess without the lose the game caveat on the end of it.
Yes. Yeah. No, we don't have that. So now that we've looked at some extra spirit synergies, let's look at other ways that we can recur these creatures from the graveyard. The first here being an instant for white-white. This is Brought Back. It says choose up to 2 target permanent cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. Return them to the battlefield tapped. Honestly, I don't think this card gets a lot of love. I don't have a lot of decks that I'd want to run this in, but it's so good. It can act as ramp with fetch lands. So even just like an Evolving Wilds or Terramorphic Expanse, if you're on a budget, if you're running an actual fetch land, it works with that. Looking at this deck, it works really well with the cycle lands that Matt is running, like Desert of the True, Desert of the Fervent, and even Forgotten Cave. We have Myriad Landscape in this deck. So this is functioning for me as it could function as Lorehold ramp, or if you really just need to bring back a creature that had died.
Like Yosai.
You think to take an extra
to take an
yeah extra an extra thing. Steal an upkeep steal someone's basically steal someone's upkeep. I really like Brought Back. I think that's perfect for this deck.
It's very, very cool.
So good.
I think the reason people might not be playing it is because it's white cast,
and that might be
it's tough. But I mean, if you're playing a 2-color deck like this here, you should do it. Maybe do you run Brought Back in your Nyambi deck?
Funny enough, I don't.
Okay,
I should. I just I'm not.
Okay.
I also really like that it's instant speed. So it can bring back two. If someone does run board wipes and they are able to knock 2 legendary creatures out that I had out, even on their turn, mm-hmm. I'll just go, you know what? No. I would like to bring back my Elesh Norn and my other, you know, something nasty, Azor. Who knows?
Got to do it.
It's got to do it. So works really well here. I'm glad to see this was included.
Well, speaking of your Nyambi deck, it also got a reanimation spell that this deck is going to use as well, and that's Late to Dinner.
I'm never late to dinner, honestly. Oh. I show up on time. Food.
I'm always late to dinner unless I'm making it. Then I can't be late.
Because you're there.
Because I'm there. Dinner that's served. The only way. So this is a 4-mana sorcery, 3 and a white. It says return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. You also get to create a food token.
Plus, there's an upside.
We didn't need that upside. This card already exists in black without that upside. We didn't need it, but we got it.
We also have Reconstruct History. It's a sorcery for 2 red and white. And it says return up to 1 target artifact card, up to 1 target enchantment card, up to 1 target instant card, up to 1 target sorcery card, and up to 1 target Planeswalker card from your graveyard to your hand, exile, reconstruct history. This, I read this card like six times so I could make sure I didn't mess it up. Mm-hmm. I feel like it might just say return up to one of the following cards. I could have done bullet points. That's how I would have done it, but they're not writing things in Word for templates.
I guess that's true. It's like, well, like if it was only permanents or something, they have text for that because Muldrotha said like you could cast one permanent of each type or whatever. So this, I mean, what are they missing? Land? So just non-land?
Is it? So we have instant, we have sorcery, enchantment, planeswalker. We don't have... Do the tribal spells work for
types of cards?
Does maybe. It for Muldrotha? It are any of them? No,
because it only cares about permanent types. Yeah,
I don't know.
Not a tribal subtype or whatever. But
this card should just say something like play like Muldrotha for this turn.
Oh, it really should. This next card up here, I think, is a little bit too high costed for what it is, but I still really like this card. It's got this extra spirit caveat on the here that makes it particularly good for this deck, and that's Returned Past Caller. For 6 mana, 3, a red, a hybrid red-white, and a white, you get a 4/2 spirit cleric with flying that says, when Returned Past Caller enters the battlefield, return target spirit, instant, or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. So it is going to trigger Quintorious no matter what. You do get to pick whether it's an instant sorcery or spirit, which particularly helps in this deck. I just hate the 2 toughness on this card. It's just too easily killed. For 6 mana, I want this to stick around. It's the same cost as Sun Titan.
We have a few lords, you know. We also have Sigardian Savior, a 3/3 flying angel for 3 white-white that says, when Sigardian Savior enters the battlefield, if you cast it, return up to 2 target creatures with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So right now, this is hitting 5 creatures: Apostle of Purifying Light, Conspiracy Theorist, Kami of Ancient Law, Lorehold Apprentice, and Remorseful Cleric. I do have some other, we'll talk about some suggestions after, that do also only cost 2 mana value or less that Sigardian Savior can hit. I like seeing this here, and obviously we know that there's some cards that we might suggest, upgrading with. So I would keep this. This is pretty cool.
Oh, for sure. So we talked about how we're going to recur some of the creatures just now. Obviously, a really easy way to do that. We saw some creatures that sacrifice themselves, but there are a few other ways we can get in there. We can either sacrifice them to something else like a Goblin Bombardment, which is in the deck, or we can loot. So with our looting options here, we have cards like Cathartic Reunion, a 2-mana sorcery. This is we can discard 2 cards to draw 3. A Faithless Looting, a 1-mana sorcery. This is draw 2 cards, then discard 2 cards with flashback. With that flashback is going to additionally make another spirit, as well as hopefully fill our graveyard with some more great stuff. Thrill of Possibility and Tormenting Voice are doing pretty much the exact same thing. As additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card, draw 2. Thrill of Possibility being instant speed, Tormenting Voice being sorcery speed. But the really interesting one here, a budget wheel option, a self-wheel option that I do suggest from
Kaladesh.
From Kaladesh, yes. We have Fateful Showdown. For 2 red-red, you get an instant that says Fateful Showdown deals damage to target creature or player equal to the number of cards in your hand. Discard all cards in your hand, then draw that many cards. You know, in combination with your bag of holding or something, maybe you're going to be able to create a ton of spirits at the same time, remove one of your opponent's cards, and have a full brand new grip. Very cool card, not played very much.
It really isn't. We also have a suite of removal spells here. We have Austere Command, which lets you choose a few different options. For 4 white-white, you can destroy all artifacts or destroy all enchantments, destroy all creatures with mana value 3 or less, or destroy creatures with mana value 4 or greater. You choose 2 of those. We have a Blasphemous Act for 8 and a red. It costs less for each creature on the battlefield. You deal 13 damage to each creature. Chaos Wart for 2 and a red. The owner of target permanent shuffles it into the library, reveals the top card of their library. If it's a permanent, they get to put it onto the battlefield. Return to Dust, a card that I'm getting more and more hyped on as I see it again. It's an instant for 2 white-white. You exile a target artifact or enchantment. Again, that enchantment removal, so important. Mm-hmm. But if you cast this during your main phase, you may exile up to 1 other target artifact or enchantment. So you can 2-for-1. Swords to Plowshares for 1 white, exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to its power. I think if I'm running white, I'm probably always running this. It's just so strong. Yep. Vanquish the Horde, a newer card that I haven't seen cast yet. This was from Midnight Hunt. Six white. This spell costs one less for each creature on the battlefield. So very similar to Blasphemous Act. Destroy all creatures. So instead of dealing 13 damage, you're actually just destroying all creatures. And then wear and tear a fuse card. This says either destroy target artifact for one and a red, or the other side is destroy target enchantment for white, or you can just pay one red white and destroy a target artifact and destroy a target enchantment.
Yeah.
It's again a 2-for-1 on a card. I feel like I don't run wear and tear anywhere, and it's always something that I feel is valuable.
Yeah, it's really good. There's always going to be an artifact to remove. There's sometimes going to be an enchantment to remove. I really enjoy the board wipes that were chosen for this particular package. Austere Command potentially being a board wipe if you choose creatures 3 or less and 4 or greater. But the modal capacity of that to be able to destroy all artifacts or enchantments. And then Blasphemous Act and Vanquish the Horde being a 1 and 2 cost board wipe, especially in this deck, is absolutely love it. The only card maybe I wish I would have seen here is Generous Gift. I think Generous Gift is a really, really cool card that we got from Commander Legends, from Modern Horizons. Is a 3-mana instant that destroys target permanent and they get a 3/3. It just hits a little bit more, costs the same amount of mana as Wear and Tear, actually one less color than Wear and Tear. And although it only hit one permanent, it'll hit any permanent. So maybe something to think about. I don't know what I would cut. I think I would leave all of these removal spells in here. I wouldn't remove one of these removal spells to do it. But just a suggestion for
me. I like them all. And now the main way to win with this deck is obviously trying to close out games with creatures, but we do have creatures through combat, but there are some other cards that we have that can help make that happen. Like Burning Vengeance, an enchantment for 2 and a red that says when you cast a spell from your graveyard, Burning Vengeance deals 2 damage to any target. I like that a lot.
It's amazing. I saw this for the first time in the Savine pre-con, but I'm pretty sure it was printed before then. Back when they had Flashback coming up and all that. It's going to incremental damage. We keep talking about it. Cather's Crusade. This card is only $5 because it's been printed so many freaking times.
But I this love card's this a card.
House. For 5 mana, you get a 3 white, you get an enchantment that says whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. This turns your go wide strategies not into just go tall, but it's go tall and wide. It pumps every. It's like an incremental Craterhoof behemoth for your team.
The number of times that I have personally killed Coil with a Cather's Crusade,
yeah, I
can't count. I feel like I have run out of hands and toes. I've been playing this card for years in my humans deck, and I can't stress enough that this needs to be removed. And the Chaos Warp that we talked about before is the only time someone has ever Chaos Warped my Cather's Crusade. Mm-hmm. Coil cut the deck, and I revealed Cather's Crusade at his kitchen table.
This is why you need to play Generous Gift.
So then Generous
Andy
Gift.
Would only get a 3/3
Generous
elephant.
Gift, yeah, would not have given me all that. Goblin Bombardment, another fantastic card. This is an enchantment for 1 and a red. Says sacrifice a creature. Goblin Bombardment deals 1 damage to any target.
So this one's going to start fueling some of the loops that we can do, deal a little bit of incremental damage. It's the only sacrifice outlet in the deck besides self-sacrifice for some of the creatures. So this is a very, very important enchantment for this deck. Impact Tremors, another very important enchantment for this deck. For 2 mana, 1 and a red. It says whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, Impact Tremors deals 1 damage to each opponent. It is a very low cost enchantment. You're going to be able to get on the battlefield very early. And again, incremental damage is going to bring everyone down. There are a few other enchantments that we're going to talk about in the additions that are going to do even more damage than this particular one. But this is definitely a must include.
It is. And Lorehold Apprentice, a 2/2 human cleric for 1 red and 1 white that has Magecraft. Whenever you cast a spell or copy an instant or sorcery until end of turn, spirits you control gain tap this creature to deal 1 damage to each opponent. That's great.
Yeah, if you got 20 spirits, 20 damage to someone's face right before my turn. Hopefully your spirits have vigilance or something. You can swing with them.
It's deal 1 damage to each opponent.
Oh, 20 damage to each opponent.
This
card's even better than I thought.
I love the each. Whenever something says each, I'm bumping it right up the list.
Yes. Now you do need to cast an instant or sorcery or copy an instant or sorcery, but we talked about before. We have 20 of them.
We've got them.
McKindy Stampede is a modal double face card from Zendikar, from our recent Zendikar set.
Zendikar Rising.
For 3 white, you get a sorcery that says creatures you control get +2/+2 until end of turn, and the other side taps for a white mana. So this is an uncommon, so it's not one of those ones that can enter untapped if you pay 3 life. It is nice to have the option of having this come out. Yeah. This is like the white overrun, but it doesn't give +3/+3. It only gives +2/+2 and doesn't give trample. So it's very not like overrun.
I do really like having this though, because the, like I said, and I'll continue to say it, Zendikar Rising did more for my commander decks than most sets in recent past.
Mm-hmm.
I have added a modal double face land card from Zendikar Rising to almost every deck. And I just love them. They're always good.
I've never
seen this one hit a deck yet. I do have the one that gives, I think it's like give protection from a color and it's a land on the other side. That one's really good. But I like this because if we do get to that point where one person, sorry, that one person who only has two creatures win, this person, you know, when Matt may have 10, mm-hmm. you're probably going to die to this.
Most likely.
+2/+2 until end of turn.
There might even be some cards in our suggestion that would not allow your opponents to block at all. So we wouldn't even need the trample with this particular card, which leads us
into card suggestions. The deck's really great, but we have some cards that we want to talk about that we might want to add.
Absolutely. I think that there is a little bit of an opportunity here to take advantage of the keyword ferocious. And what that means is you have to have a creature with at least 4 power. Although this first card I want to talk about isn't, it doesn't actually say ferocious anywhere on the card. It does require you to have 4 power, and that is Bonder's Enclave. So Bonder's Enclave, it's a land. It taps to add a colorless, or you can pay 3 generic to tap it and draw a card, but you can only activate the ability if you have a creature with power 4 or greater. Again, your 3/2 spirits are going to come out. Quintorius is going to give them +1/+0. So they're actually going to enter the battlefield as a 4/2. So you'll pretty much always have a 4 power creature to activate this Bonder's Enclave.
Yeah, a card that does have ferocious though, Barrage of Boulders, 2 and a red, a sorcery that says it deals 1 damage to each creature you don't control. Ferocious, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, creatures can't block this turn.
Yeah, so
you know, really good.
Even if you can't give your creatures trample, making it so your opponents can't block is pretty cool. Wild Slash is a card that was seen play in Pioneer for a little while. 1 red, it's an instant that also has ferocious. So if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, damage can't be prevented this turn. Wild Slash deals 2 damage to any target. The 2 damage really isn't particularly what we're looking for here. It's the you know, opponents won't be able to prevent the damage. So if someone has a fog type of deck or something, and again, this is going to be, I think, more playgroup specific if you're going to want to include a card like Wild Slash in your deck.
Right. I know. One of the cards that you mentioned earlier, you would have loved if it had cost a little less, returned Past Caller, the 4/2 that returned target spirit or sorcery from your graveyard to your hand. Another card that I was thinking about here is Karmic Guide, 3 white for a 2/2 angel spirit, flying protection from black. This card has also, I feel like, been printed 100 times at this point. It has Echo, so you have to pay for it. Again, I don't think I've ever done that. But when Karmic Guide enters the battlefield, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's not identical. No. The other one does give you an option to get a sorcery card back. I just think that's pretty solid. It actually synergizes really well with the deck.
I agree.
And if you wanted to look into potential combo loops as the combo player, Karma Guide is really good.
Yeah, it sure is. It does combo with quite a few things. There are a couple phoenixes that you can play in the red colors that will help you create some spirits here. One of them from Rivals of Ixalan, Rekindling Phoenix. For 2 red, you get a flying 4/3. It says when Rekindling Phoenix dies, create a 0/1 red elemental creature token with, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice this creature and return target card named Rekindling Phoenix from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste until end of turn. So you're going to get a hasty 4/3 on top of getting a non-hasty 4/2 every single time this leaves your graveyard. It's either going to prevent your opponents from killing it, or you're just going to get advantage. The other phoenix here being Flamewake Phoenix, 1 red, you get a creature phoenix with flying and haste as 2 power, 2 toughness. It must attack each turn if able, but it also has this ferocious keyword on there. It says at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, you may pay 1 red, and if you do, return Flamewake Phoenix from your graveyard to the battlefield. You're pretty much always going to have a creature with 4 power with your spirit, so create another 4 power spirit in the process.
Another mechanic that I really think works well with this deck is the disturb mechanic. So you're going to be able to cast things from the graveyard. The one that I like a lot, you know, if I'm not playing a combo, I really like playing with alternate win cons, is Faithbound Judge. So this is a new card from Crimson Vow. For 1 white, you get a 4/4 spirit soldier that has defender, flying, and vigilance. It says at the beginning of your upkeep, if Faithbound Judge has 2 or fewer judgment counters on it, put a judgment counter on it. As long as Faithbound Judge has 3 or more judgment counters on it, it can attack as though it didn't have Defender. But if it does hit your graveyard, a great card to throw away. It has Disturb for 5WW. It comes back as an enchantment or a curse called Sinner's Judgment. Enchant player, at the beginning of your upkeep, put a judgment counter on Sinner's Judgment. Then if there are three or more judgment counters on it, enchanted player loses the game if Sinner's Judgment would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile it. So you do have to really just pick one person who you do want to knock out. But if you think you've got a few turns, if you're playing up against somebody who's playing just a grindier deck that you still think probably just going to lose because this is kind of grindy, just give them a 3-turn clock.
Oh, yeah. I know my new Edgar Markov deck is actually a proliferate deck, and it includes the color white. It should include this card because you can make someone lose even quicker that way.
You can. Yes.
There are 10 cards in white that do have Disturb. All of these cards either being spirits after you cast the Disturb or spirits before and then become auras afterwards. I think all of these could definitely be played in this deck. Again, you're either going to synergize well with casting things out of your graveyard or just having them be spirits themselves. So one in particular that I like is Katilda, Dawnheart Martyr. For 3 mana, 1WW, you get a legendary creature spirit warlock that has flying, lifelink, and protection from vampires. The flying part is the one I particularly like about this. Katilda, Dawnheart Martyr's power and toughness are each equal to the number of permanents you control that are spirits and or enchantments. This is not an enchantment deck, but this is particularly a spirit deck. On the other side, you do get a legendary enchantment aura that has enchant creature, and that creature gets +X/+X, where X is the number of permanents you control that are enchantments and spirits. So you're going to be able to cast that from your graveyard after Katilda dies. But the whole flying that Katilda has to get around blockers and stuff is just going to be huge. Turn your huge board state, again, go wide into go tall.
Right. Now, we do have a few cards that might be a little pricier. We're going to, talk about these because, the holidays are coming up. You might be getting a little bit of, money at the holidays. My parents don't like giving money at the holidays, but I don't dislike getting.
I like receiving money. I
just like receiving money. Yeah. And this very much reminds me of birthday money, right? Mm-hmm. Birthday money is money you get your birthday to buy something fun, but you were already going to buy it anyway. So you keep the birthday money going, well, I'll just buy something different. And then ultimately it just doesn't really feel like birthday money because you just kept buying things you wanted. So with holiday money coming up, you might have some and want to buy a few cards here. So one of them is, Purphoros, God of the Forge. It's a really, really great enchantment for 3 and a red, a 6/5 that has indestructible as long as your devotion to red is less than 5. Purphoros isn't a creature. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Purphoros deals 2 damage to each opponent. We're going to make a bunch of spirits here. And then also for 2 and a red, you can pay to give your creatures +1/+0 until end of turn, which is very relevant.
It's double impact tremors for only one or for 2 more mana, but it's indestructible.
So save your holiday money and just buy a Purphoros. And then also spend your holiday money on another one.
Yes, because for $5 more, for $23, you can pick up your own copy of Terror of the Peaks. Terror of the Peaks is a dragon for 3RR with flying. It's got 5 power, 4 toughness. It says spells your opponents cast that target Terror of the Peaks cost an additional 3 life to cast. So removing it is going to be a little bit tougher. But the important part here is whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Terror of the Peaks deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. So it doesn't care, Purphoros, as any creature enters, it's going to deal 2 damage. Impact Tremors, any creature enters, it's going to deal 1 damage. Terror of the Peaks, when your 4/2s enter the battlefield, you're hitting someone for 4 damage with Terror. It's going to hit so much harder than everything else. I really like this particular card for this deck. I think it's worth, I know it's 23 bucks. I think you should pull the trigger.
Yeah. We've also got Anointed Procession, which is going to make you a lot of creatures because it says whenever a token would enter the battlefield, you would make twice as many tokens, but it's in white. It's like $40 now.
Yeah, it is.
If you've got it, use it. It's an enchantment, so it's harder to remove, but for 3 and a white, you make double those spirits.
Absolutely. Got to do it. So there's another mechanic that works particularly well, and I know we talked about this, just to confirm that this mechanic does work well, and that's Retrace. So Retrace is a mechanic that says when this card is in your graveyard, you can cast it from your graveyard with an additional cost of discarding a land. What this will allow you to do is actually take the Retrace card and put it on the stack, so it is leaving your graveyard, and will create you a spirit. So there's a couple Retrace cards that I think fit in this deck well. They're both very budget and will fit. The first one is Reality Scramble. Reality Scramble is like a polymorph type effect. So for two red red, you get a sorcery that says put target permanent you own on the bottom of your library. You can choose a token. It just goes away immediately. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card that shares a card type with that permanent. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order, and has retrace. You can turn all of your tokens into, you know, non-token spirits that you're going to get out of your deck. You can turn some of your rocks into better artifacts if you want. It's going to have a lot of effect, and you're going to be constantly creating a new token. So in fact, it's going to be fueling itself. You can if you have infinite mana and infinite lands in your hand, in order to retrace as much times, you can just constantly cycle your token into a new creature. That's actually pretty cool. Throes of Chaos is the other one. That is a 4-mana sorcery that says cascade and has retrace. So you're going to be able to hit 47 different cards that are under 4 mana value with Throes of Chaos is with Cascade ability. So why not? Do it, retrace, get some spirits, and free spells in the process.
Exactly. And one more shout out for the Christmas money. We've got a retrace card that is expensive. It's an extra combat card in Waves of Aggression. It's around $25. 3, and then it's hybrid Lorehold, hybrid Lorehold. Didn't say Boros. And it says, untap all creatures that attack this turn. After this main phase, there's an additional combat phase followed by an additional main phase. It also has retrace. So Coyle looked up the rulings, and it says it leaves and it's over and over. So again, this was very fun to put this episode together. Lots of great cards that you can change out if you want. You've got, I mean, there's a ton of options, yeah, and the way that you play this, you can really play this a bunch of different ways. So that's it. And Matt, thank you so much for supporting our show and for sending us this deck list this week. We were very happy to go over this deck. And if you want to find us online, you can find me on Twitter at Andy Flory.
And you can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine. And of course, we want to give a special thanks to our editor and producer, Ryan Nichols. Thank you so much for everything that you do. We love you. And Chris Wolf, who handles all of our graphic design, thank you for everything that you do. And we love you. And to all of you listening out there, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it a lot. I don't know if we ever say how much we appreciate it. I think we do, but just know that it's even more than that. And we'll talk to you next week.
Christmas money.